Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You have now entered into the House of Mystery, the best in true crime, conspiracy, and alternative history, with Al Warren and Kevin Thompson. KCAA, the stations that leave no listener behind. Broadcasting on 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM. The trifecta of talk radio for Southern California.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm your host today, Al Warren, and joining me from the UK is Julie Sav. How are you doing, Jewel?
I'm good, thanks, Al. A long time to speak. How is everything over there?
Everything's fine over here. It's the same old, same old. There's always seems to be a shock and outrage every day. it's over day 600 on the crazy train over here, so we're on the runaway train. We're loose all over the place.
Yep. I will say, Julie, I had a workshop over in Henley on the Thames several years ago. It was so beautiful. Really loved that place.
Oh, that's very good to hear. It's a beautiful place, the UK, depending on where you go, and same as anywhere.
Sure.
Since I was last kind of working with Al and with Kevin, I've moved actually from Cyprus back to the UK. So it's been a really busy couple of weeks, but it's great to be back in the UK.
Great.
Yeah, good to get out of
sight. Weather will be different, that's for sure.
It's very misty and rainy, and we've had a couple of storms hitting us. We're right on the west coast, so it's a...
Yep.
Yeah, we couldn't be further southwest if we tried.
Mm.
Good. Back to the rain.
Back to the rain. It's all good.
It's good for the skin, right? That's what they say.
And the frizzy hair.
Yeah, if I had hair.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and who's joining us is Tom T. Moore. Now, of course, he's written several books. We're going to kind of try and cover a few of them today, or maybe touch off on all of them. There's a lot to talk about. It's good to meet you, Tom.
Nice to meet you, and hello to everybody out in your listening audience. I'm sorry to jump in there early.
No, that's all right.
I had not been introduced yet.
No, sometimes people do and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't want to get involved in the conversation. it gets a little tense. Let's talk about you here, Mr. Tom Moore. Where did this all start for you? I mean, you've written The Gentle Way, looks like 1, 2, and 3. You've got First Contact, Atlantis, and Lemuria. Where did that all come from for you? Like, what started it?
A number of years ago, about 20, I read a spiritual article in the Sedona Journal of Emergence, written by Robert Shapiro, and he was channeling a being by the name of Zosh, and Zosh said, you can request benevolent outcomes in your life. And for some reason at that time, I didn't know why, it struck a bell. And so I said, I think I might try that, because I'd tried all these modalities. I mean, I'd gone through astrology. I'd made a lot of money through astrology in my business. And my business is not astrology. And then I tried numerology and all these other modalities as I was kind of searching through. And the law of attraction, it didn't work very good. And so so I started experimenting with benevolent outcomes, and I kind of created how to say it myself, and it worked perfectly. And I said, wow, this is fantastic. And so I wound up starting to write an article or two for the Sedona Journal, and so it really kind of proceeded from there. It really struck a nerve with other people, and they started trying it and found out how fantastic it was. And then lo and behold, in 2005, I went to a seminar in Sedona put on by a million-selling author by the name of Dick Sutphen, S-U-T-P-H-E-N, and it was to increase your psychic abilities. So when he had us doing automatic writing instead of doing that, I decided to try and speak to this Indian shaman that had been channeled by Robert Shapiro for me by the name of Reveals the Mysteries, and he had told me that my sole contract was not to support Robert's work, and I thought that was very strange. So when he put us under, when Dick put us under, I said, Reveals the Mysteries, are you there? And he says, yes, I am, Tom. And I said, wow, this is neat. And so I asked him, you know, why was I doing this stuff? And, you know, it seemed to be leading the charge. And he said, Tom, he said, you're an Indian shaman living at the same time I am here in the 1600s. Your name is Stillwater, and you have incarnated into the 20th and 21st centuries to reintroduce people to the gentle way. So that's kind of how it started, and I've asked thousands and thousands of questions since that time of my guardian angel, who I'd named Theo, and Gaia, the soul of the earth, and I've talked to all sorts of people, and including Reveals the Mysteries, who's now my main guide, by the way. So that's how it started.
Wow.
So, Tom, before all of this, who would you say you were before, and what were your abilities before you had this kind of almost an awakening?
Who was I before?
Yes. What were your abilities or your beliefs before this kind of
I was a seeker of knowledge. I read probably almost every metaphysical book out there that I could find, and as I say, when I first started out, there was this astrologer in Dallas whose hobby was the Dallas Cowboys, and he said, "Well, the Cowboys are not going to the Super Bowl this year, but they're going next year." And I said, "Boy, isn't that neat?" And I tore the article out of the Dallas Morning News and put it in my desk. And after the football season, he hit on 80% of the reasons, and so I said, gosh, I don't know how it works, but I reserved 300 seats on Braniff Airlines to Miami for the next year, and was the very first tour operator in Dallas to ever run a trip to the Super Bowl, and I already had a travel club that was for profit at that time. It eventually became a travel agency, and then eventually an international wholesale tour company. We were running, as an example, tours to the Cayman Islands. We were the second largest in the United States to do that, and Las Vegas, and the ski club was my first love and continued to do that quite a long time. So I was a businessman, but I explored anything and everything, including dreams. In 1979, my wife and I were supposed to go to a world congress in Manila, and I had a dream of an explosion and a woman and some men involved, and so we changed and did not go to Manila. went to Hong Kong and Taipei, added days on there. And on the first day of the Congress, the terrorists exploded the bomb in the front of the hall and injured 10 travel agents. And they arrested a woman and four men. And after that, I said, I'm going to record my dreams the rest of my life, and I have. So dreams are messages from your soul. I've had many prognostic dreams since that time.
So when you were young, much younger, and growing up, were you aware that you had? I mean, I suppose you and you very quickly corrected yourself when you said clairaudient. But what would your strengths be? Would you say? Are you clairaudient or clairvoyant,
no.
Clairsentient, or are you? Was it through astrology that your interest developed, and then the dreams, and then?
Yeah, you know, I mean, from the very early age, yes, I could have gut feelings. Now, gut feelings are part of telepathy. Okay.
Yeah.
I consider mine myself a self-trained telepath. Okay. Because everybody is a telepath because everyone has the pineal gland at the back of your heads, and that acts as an antenna, a receptor, and you may call it ESP, or you may call it gut instinct, or oh gosh, I need to call Aunt Martha, and sure enough, something has happened to Aunt Martha. All those are telepathic messages to you, and I've just been able to develop it over a period of time, and I did that by allowing people to email me and ask questions. I was always a person that when I'd read these channeled messages in the Sedona Journal of Emergence or wherever, I'd say, gosh, I'd love to ask an extra question here, but there was nobody to ask it to. And so I started putting out this newsletter in 2007, and almost immediately it went from once a month to once every 2 weeks to one a week. And my newsletters these days are 10 to 13 pages long. Every single week, 52 weeks a year.
Okay, so now I'm fascinated. So bear with me, Tom.
Okay.
So you've just mentioned about telepathy. Now, one of the key things as a medium that I questioned in my very, very early development was how do I know that the information I'm receiving is from spirit? And how can I rule out that I am using telepathy to communicate with the individual in front of me as opposed to getting information from another source, i.e. spirit and those that have passed over? How do you understand the difference?
Okay. First of all, telepathy uses a pathway that scientists have yet to discover. Okay?
Okay.
You can be across the table from someone, a la like the Ryan Institute experiments at Duke University, and you can Google Ryan Institute images, and you'll see, you know, a couple of people facing each other with a board in between them, and they're trying to do the Zener cards, okay?
Yes.
And so you can do that across a table, across a campus, halfway across the world, or even across the universe, and it's instantaneous communication, which is going to be very important one day for two reasons. Number one, it could be used, let's say, on the Mars mission, okay? They really should experiment with having two twins. See, one of the problems with the Ryan Institute is that they drag people off the street that will not know each other. You start having people that, like an old married couple, or are twins, or like they did for the space station, and you start having people like that really are tuned into each other, and then you work with them. You don't just let's just try it here, let's just try it there. You let them go into a meditative state, and that's where it's so easy to receive and send messages.
Okay, so would you? Oh, this is complicated stuff, isn't it? Right. So would you then agree that you can link telepathically to spirit, or would you just say this works on kind of our plane, if I want of a better phrase?
Oh, no. I mean, because I communicate with spirit, you know, several times a week. I mean, this morning I had an hour and a half session where I had a whole list of questions that had been sent in to me from people all over the world, and I asked my guardian angel Theo and Gaia and my soul cluster brother Antura, who's an amphibian that lives on a water world in the Sirius B star system, although he's orbiting overhead right now. And so I'm able to communicate telepathically with all these people or beings, and you can do it with an individual or you can do it with spirit.
And do you think it's easy to understand the difference?
Well, sure, because you say, I wish to speak to Gaia, or I wish to speak to Theo, or I wish to speak to my guardian angel. I mean, that's what I always tell people to start with, because your guardian angel is your best friend, okay? But before you do, typically I tell everybody, you've got to surround yourself with white light, a bubble of white light. Lots of people teach that. And if who you're speaking with starts trying to tell you to do things, then cut them off, surround yourself with white light, and go find somebody else. Because in all the years that I've been speaking to Theo and Gaia and everybody, none of them will ever tell you to do something. They say, you've got to choose your own path. That's why you're on Earth. That's why you're having these lives. You have to make your own decisions. And as long as you have loving entities like that you're communicating with, then you're fine.
I mean, I've certainly said on many occasions to people that I've read for, Spirit do not give you the ABC of life, because we are here to learn lessons. And therefore, if they were to answer your every minute detail and every question, clearly you wouldn't be out there to learn anything.
But there's a reason for that, you understand.
Absolutely.
On Monday night, I just taught a new class to a group. It's called the Earth Experiment. And part of the Earth Experiment is that our souls volunteered, okay, to have these lives on Earth. One, it would fast-track raising their vibrational levels, which some people call ascension, okay? But our eventual goal is to all meld together thousands of years from now and become a creator. That's never been done in any other universe. And there's billions of universes and billions of creators, of course. And we're all going to meld together, become a creator, and take over running this universe and allow the creator of this universe to go to a higher level. So that's our goal, and that's why we're veiled. We have to make all of these decisions on our own, these millions and billions of decisions, because eventually we're going to have to do that as a creator.
Okay.
How about that?
I think whoever, I have been a medium for many years, and
okay.
It's situation to yourself, and I think there are so many different ways of describing this stuff, and inherently we're all on the same kind of pathway, but yes. How we see things is very different sometimes, and I for one believe very much in just keeping mediumship incredibly simple, and mm-hmm. I receive information, I give information, I've got very, very clear values and morals around that, and you know, I'm not somebody who's going to walk along the street and suddenly pull somebody off and start reading for them. I disagree with all of that stuff. But I just give the information that I'm meant to give, and I support people to understand it where necessary. But I don't kind of get into it, and I don't raise a vibration. I don't meditate, and I don't switch on and switch off. So there are certain things that the language we use sometimes can cause a barrier between people. Mm-hmm. So how have you used your expertise, your knowledge, and clearly a wealth of experience to develop your books, which inherently are a self-help guide to helping us to understand kind of these realms further and to believe in angels and what they bring to us?
Well, okay. I guess that's a big question. I've been told, you know, that as I explained earlier, that I'm reintroducing the gentle way to people. Okay, a way to live by requesting benevolent outcomes in your life. And when you say, when you start out with the mundane request, like I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive to, you know, wherever. Thank you. I always say thank you. That goes to your, in my belief system, understand, because that's what I've been told, is that that goes to your guardian angel, and your guardian angel looks at your soul contract, and if that request is within your soul contract, then you will get that. And that's what the amazing thing about requesting benevolent outcomes is that if you don't get it, it's because something better is on the way. And so when I'm doing these meditative sessions where I'm asking questions for people, I tell people I don't do personal readings. I only do things about big things, you know, the earth and politics and whatever I can receive. And also I've had to learn about probabilities, and that was extremely hard for me to learn. I learned the hard way. That there are probabilities to everything. The farther out you go, there's thousands of probabilities for any given day. The closer you get to that date, the probabilities shrink and shrink and shrink till maybe there's only a couple of probabilities for that particular day. So there's many things that go in. Our lives are much, much more complex than we realize, and my job has been to further explain the complexity of life to people as compared to, you know, just going with what was written 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. And it's much more complex and much more beautiful than people can realize. We have a very loving creator. A lot of people don't believe that. Oh, he's a vengeful creator. You know, he did this and did this. He's a very loving creator. And there's only one of them, no matter what he's called. So
how do you interpret that with religion then? Like, do you have to believe in a certain creator to do what you do?
Well, you know, I've been told that, you know, there's only one creator for our universe, and so we start with that point. I've also been told there's billions of other creators. Theo, my guardian angel, says that our creator would be ranked in the top five of all those billions, because our creator decided to have this Earth experiment where none of these other universes had ever been able to work with anything, but there are 10 positive energies. See, now this is something that supposedly our scientists will not prove for many, many years. But there's 4 negative energies. And so our creator asked for volunteers to take part in the Earth experiment to see if we could work with these 4 negative energies. And for a long time, we kept destroying ourselves. That's why there's no Atlantis. That's why there's no Lemuria, as an example, from Mars. But eventually, in August of 1987, there was the harmonic convergence. And that was a really big time, because at that point in time, we reached a vibrational level where we will never destroy ourselves again. There will never be another continent-destroying war. Okay, only small conflicts, and those will slowly but surely die out over the next 100 years or so.
So when you ask, what kind of things do you ask your guardian angel about the world?
Oh, well, you know, I sent you an article I just sent into the Sedona Journal a few days ago for their 2019 predictions. And so as an example, I ask, because of all the stuff happening with the Catholic Church and their pedophile priests and everything, I was told while just not too long ago that Pope Francis would be forced to resign. And so in the last time that not this morning, but the last time I did a session, I asked what was the probability of the Pope resigning in 2019, and I was told it was 100%. Now, you know, they're going to have a big meeting of the cardinals and bishops in the at the Vatican with on February 24th. I wonder if that's when it's going to happen or whether it'll come later. But supposedly, it's 100% probability that happened. I've been told the probability of Trump, President Trump, getting a second term is 80%. As I was told, it's not a slam dunk, but it's still a pretty high probability. And if he is elected for a second term, he will serve all of it. He will not be impeached or assassinated. And I've been told that these elections coming up will the Democrats will take over the Senate, but they will not be able to take over the House. So these are some of the things that I ask about.
Now, so can anybody do this? How does, and if so, how does one get in touch with their guardian angel?
Well, of course, you can simply say, guardian angel, you know, what is your name? What name shall I call you? And the name that you get may be something that pops right up in your brain immediately, or it may take a couple of weeks like it did me, because I've been told by my guardian angel, Theo, that we can't pronounce angelic names, okay? We can only come up with a name that sounds good to us. Now, since that time, I found out that in a few hundred lives, I've called my guardian angel Theo. I didn't know that till after I was already calling him that.
Okay,
you have to understand, I'm an old soul. I'm on my 1,005th life. Supposedly, I'm one of 10 people in the world that have had that many lives.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow. And slightly raising this as in a humorous way, clearly, Tom, for those people who then, because obviously there are beliefs out there that you are reincarnated because you haven't learned those lessons in a previous life and you just keep going and keep going. So you aren't doing
so. In fact, when I was told, I said, well, how many lives have I had? Oh, you're 1,005th. I said, boy, I must be a slow learner. Yeah. And they laughed and they said, no, Tom, you keep coming back to push people along. So that's the answer I got.
That was the right answer, clearly.
I hope so. what was bad about it is that I, just not too long, too many months ago, I asked, well, how many more lives do I have? You have to understand, my sole interest are religions, and I've been around for the start of every major religion in the world. Okay, that's my sole interest. So I said, have I done them all now? And I was told, no, you've got two more to go. And in fact, there's a friend of mine that lived across the street from me when we were growing up boys, and he became a minister, I won't say for which faith, but I was recently told that he's going to be the one to start a new religion. Now, the religion, you have to understand, has already been started, but we don't go vertically with our lives. We can hop, like my wife, her next life is going to be back about 12,000, 600, 500 years ago, back in ancient Egypt. She's going to be he, and he's going to be a leader of his a great leader of his people, and I'm going to be his assistant. But I've already had that life; it's a past life for me. It's very confusing, but that's the way it works.
So this is fascinating. Sorry. So there's a couple of questions I have that are going on and on in my head. So if spirits, if your guides or your guardian angel, as you refer to them, I would refer to mine as a guide. So.
Yes. And we can get into guides because guides are different from guardian angels.
Okay. So you would speak to your guardian angel and they would say this is what's going to happen. So the stuff with Trump.
This is the probability. Probability is 60% or 70% or 80% or 100%, whatever it happens to be.
What's the purpose of you having that information? I mean, what are you going to do with that information that's going to make a difference?
Well, people ask these things, and I think it's part of teaching, because I didn't understand anything about probabilities, okay? And probabilities are real, real big in the world. So they tell me that all the stuff that I've received so far is just like the tip of the iceberg. I still have so far to go. Mm. So all I can tell you is that they said you can ask us any question, but it has to be specific. It cannot be just some general thing. Well, what's going to happen next year in 2019? Can't do that. You've got to say, okay, what about forest fires? Yes, they're going to be really bad again next year. That kind of stuff. And hurricanes. Now, see, one of the things I've learned is that I on my Facebook and in my newsletter, I had people saying a benevolent prayer to reduce the wind and rain for Hurricane Florence as it approached the coast. It was 140 miles an hour, and they were predicting it was going to be a Cat 3, 110 or 20 miles an hour when it hit land. We got it. I had several thousand people saying this benevolent prayer out loud And this created a great energy, and it lowered the wind speed down to 90. You can, I've been told we can do things like that. If we have enough people, we could have even completely broke the hurricane apart, or at least turned it on out to sea. We just don't have enough people yet.
That's very powerful. I mean, the next question I have to ask you really is, I'm not even sure if I want to ask you and I don't understand even know why I feel that way, but I'm going to ask you because I think it's something that people would have probably picked up on and would be interested in. You've mentioned that one of your key purposes, your sole purpose actually, is around religion, and you've been around for the beginning of the majority of religions, or all religions. I can't remember the exact words you used, Tom, but. And you also mentioned that, you know, this kind of coming back and guiding and moving people along is another key purpose that you have. When we were talking, and I brought in about the kind of reincarnation and some of the theories around that. Now, if you were to come along and to move people in a direction, in the right direction, is your key role, and you're there with all of these major religions, there will be people that say to that, well, actually, those religions have been the cause of so many wars, deaths to innocent people. Why would one person be tasked with that, and yet it's not, doesn't seem to be making a huge impact, a huge difference on the way that we in society treat different beliefs and views and have respect for each other?
We're going to get much more loving in the years ahead, and I'm going to help with that. We haven't, and we can get into it later, should you wish, but because of my experience in being in the international film and TV distribution business and having been co-executive producer of some very super low-budget movies, my family and I are supposed to shoot a documentary on board a Syrian mothership coming up, and that will show people from 37 different planets, every single type of being almost you can imagine, all living and working in one of these huge motherships. And I hope to be able to put out, show people that just because we have different skin colors or whatever, we can all get along together. So that's going to be one of my future projects coming up.
And can you remember in the very many lives that you've already had around the time of those religions beginning? And as you said, you go backwards and forwards and sideways. You don't always go into the future. Can you remember some of the key learnings that you've taken away and then delivered into another life?
Well, it's my understanding that I had these lives to be an advisor or a friend to gently, as best I can, to make the religion as loving as possible. Okay, so as an example, I was a friend of Muhammad. I was one of Moses' sons. I was Salome or Salome. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. One of Jesus' disciples and the mother of James and John, I think it was. I was one of the five men who offered his head to the guru of the Sikh religion, and I became one of his trusted five advisors. So in other words, I've been around for all these kind of startups.
So now, I was thinking, so you've got three books now on the Gentle Way. What is it three levels that we're talking about, or is it three different directions of training?
It's a progression. It's a progression, yeah. First book was mostly about how I use requesting benevolent outcomes in my business and travels to Cannes and Milan and, you know, Budapest and places like that as part of my business. And then the second book where I'd been calling these benevolent prayers living prayers, I switched to make it more understandable to people about, and so I created something simple that everyone of every single faith could say and feel like it was going to whoever they believed as their deity. And that's very important. My prayers are inclusive and not divisive.
Now, you got into E.T. and the First Contact, and you've written a book about that, and Conversations with an E.T. And now, where did that come about, and how do aliens, I guess as we call it, or E.T., play into the world and the role? As you said, if there's a creator who's doing this world plan, like how we are, but none of the other creators did it, so where are the aliens from?
Okay. You have to understand there's trillions of inhabited planets in our universe. Okay. Some of them are over a billion, even 6 billion years old. So they're very far ahead of us as far as technologically. But what the Creator saw is that everyone had gotten to a point where it was like they were on a level of, say, 5.3, 5.4, and now we're at 5.0. But they weren't increasing their vibrational levels. So I guess he had to figure out, he had to shake things up. And so he sent his emissaries to a number of these planets. And I was told, when an emissary from the Creator shows up and asks you to do something, you can refuse, but no one ever does. And so the Creator was asking them to take part in this Earth experiment where they were creating a special space-time continuum to contain this negative energy that we were going to work with, and so the Creator asked for volunteers for souls. So, as an example, our souls volunteered to fast track in order to become a creator. Okay, that's one set of souls. Another set were guardian angels. These are whole souls that are very powerful they've been around so long that they glow a golden light. They're called golden light beings. And Theo said that when the call went out for volunteers to be guardian angels, he said humorously, only golden light beings need apply, because they needed these beings that were very powerful and could handle millions and millions of lives. And then there's another over a million souls that handle all the prayers on Earth that are answered instantaneously, but according to your soul contract. And then, you know, when you get into our souls not only have lives going on Earth where we are soul fragments, and there's 6 to 12 on average in a soul cluster, all right, but they may be having 500,000 to 1 million lives going on all at the same time all across the universe. And so all of our souls had thousands of lives on other planets before we ever got to Earth. Originally, I was told that we had to have a spiritual life before we could qualify, but in actuality, they were spoon-feeding me the information, and I've been corrected that we had to have reached a vibrational level, certain vibrational level, before we could take part in the Earth experiment. So that's, and our guides, as I was mentioning to Julie, our guides are, our guardian angels have never had a life on Earth, but our guides are all fragments of us, and so you, typically your main guide, will be from your soul cluster, and then the other guides come and go according to what you're doing in the life. So as an example, in my life, when I was in the tour business, I had two guys that helped me with that. Then I got into international film distribution, have a couple of guys helping me with that. Writing, I have two guys that help me with that. My mother in this life now takes care of me on all things feminine, because 75 or 80% of the people that subscribe to my newsletter are women. So you have these guides that come and go as you need them.
Now you have telepathic contact with ET, as you would say, from another planet. How does that differ from when you're dealing with a guardian angel?
Okay. It's just, and Antura tunes in when I'm asking questions to Theo and Gaia, the soul of the earth. So I seem to have a big audience when I'm asking these questions. I was talking to Theo one day, and he said, an ET is tuning in right now, and you probably want to speak to him. Well, I about dropped on the floor because I thought I was having this private conversation with my own guardian angel, and it was like a party line. So, you know, but they do it out of love, and all these ETs are kind of tuning in to me to find out what level we're on, you know, what level of questions we're asking that are coming along. So, so back to these emissaries. They were asked to work on bodies and everything to find an Earth human. So they knew how to do it, but they didn't have the practical experience. It was the way it was described to me. So they started going through all these bodies like Littlefoot and Lucy and Littlefoot, and eventually Neanderthals, and if you've been reading the news recently, there was a race called the Denisovans, and then they discovered they were mating with the Neanderthals. So recently I asked about that, and the Denisovans were, there was only about a million of them, but they were almost, they were like kissing cousins to the Neanderthals. They were similar, but not exactly the same. Both of them had about 70% of our mental capacity that we have today, and then they were allowed to die out, and along came the Cro-Magnons that had 100% of our mental capacity, but they had some things that they had to tweak with on their bodies, and that's where the Adam and Eve model came along 60,000 years ago.
So, Tom,
and one more thing. These ETs could produce these bodies. It'd be like a giant 3D printer. They could produce them in 2.5 minutes.
So, I'm sorry for interrupting you just then, Tom. Thank you for finishing that. I just want to, I suppose, to help people out there, because your knowledge is so, it's just huge. And you very, very easily talk about some very complex scenarios. So I'm just wondering, if somebody was listening into this interview now and, like myself and Al, you know, very interested in what you've got to say and want to understand it more, how would you encourage them to do that, and what would your advice be?
Oh, okay. Number one would be, I have a weekly newsletter that's free, okay? They can go to www.thegentlewaybook.com, and on the front page is a little blue box, and they can subscribe to my newsletter there. On my website, I have archived every single newsletter from 2007 onwards. I would suggest maybe starting with the last four or five and sort of reading those. I actually had a lady that emailed me the other day and told me she's read every single one, which is a lot of reading. And you'll see my hits and misses. You see why I got in trouble on probabilities and so on. So that's one way to start. I also tell people, hey, look, you can do what I'm doing. If you go to www.dicksutphen.com, remember this is the guy that that I went to a seminar and got me over the hump. Way down, if you click on the store and way down at the bottom, there's a CD or MP3 you can buy called Spirit Guides. He takes you into this meditative state, and then he says, okay, you can ask questions now. So you say, I wish to speak to my guardian angel. And it'll sound like you're talking to yourself. Hi, you know, Julie, this is your guardian angel. And you say, okay, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. And you ask a couple of questions, and then Dick comes back on, and he says, okay, I'm going to bring you up and out. And that's where you can start. So you can do this yourself. And I have a number of people that have done that.
And how would you encourage people? Because doing what you and I will do in kind of that telepathy and that communication with spirit, it takes quite a lot of confidence, doesn't it, to be able to say, these are not my words that I'm hearing. And I use the word hearing in inverted commas because it's normally as a thought. So we just know that's what's being said to us. How do you help people understand and differentiate between the voice of spirit, which comes into us as more of a knowing than our own thought process?
Okay, repeat that one more time. How do
apply? So when many mediums, many people that communicate telepathically with spirit will say they don't necessarily hear in the same way as we do what's being said to them. It's a knowing because it's internal. It's telepathy. It's not audible. So how would you help people to, because when you first go into that meditative state to ask for your guide or your guardian angel to make contact with you, it's all of a sudden there's a different communication style than we're used to. We're used to hearing people standing in front of us, talking to us, and we hear it as sound waves that come between the two. How do you help people to have confidence that the words that they are knowing as coming into their mind are those of spirit and not of kind of themselves making it up almost?
Well, keep in mind, I've already talked about being in a meditative state, and so as an example, gosh, I can only probably give you examples. Let me go back to, okay, I'll try and give you just an example. I'll say, Gaia, you said the highest probability would be for Mr. Trump to be elected for a second term. What is that probability? And then what is the probability for him serving his whole second term? Tom, the probability of him serving a second term would be at 80% right now. Should he be elected, the probability of serving the full 4 years again would be over 80%. Not a slam dunk, but very close. He would not be impeached and nor assassinated. So you see, that's what I receive. I'm sitting at a computer when I'm in this meditative state, and I'm typing as fast as I can and trying not to make too many mistakes when I'm listening to, this is like almost a telephone conversation, except that it's all mental.
And that's the bit I'm asking about, because when I was first tasked with that, you know, sit in a quiet room, ask your guide to make themselves known to you, it seemed bizarre because I was thinking, well, how would I know that these are not my own thoughts and that actually these are the thoughts and words of spirit? And the only way I can describe that to people is you just know. You absolutely know the difference. But how I can encourage people to believe in themselves and believe that those are the words of something that they cannot see, they cannot necessarily feel, it's really quite complicated. And I'm just wondering how you encourage people in that moment, okay, in that kind of vulnerability that they have in that time.
Sure. For a long time, when I always kind of first start talking with Gaia, because I typically will have people sending in a lot of questions about the Earth. And Gaia has told me that we've had these conversations for several hundred years, okay? Tons of lifetimes. So she knows me pretty well. And so when I started doing this in, fairly early days, it would seem like I was just talking to myself in a way. Okay, listening. Gaia, you know, I send my love to you. Well, thank you, Tom. Godspeed or whatever. And in fact, that's they have these little things that when you start talking to them, I'll say, Gaia, are you here for me? Yes, I am, Tom. And then at the end, she'll say, Godspeed and have a wonderful day, Tom. And Godspeed was kind of an old saying, and I mentioned that to her, and she said, oh, you said that to me many, many times in the past. So it's kind of like our way that we know it's each other, or at least I know it's her. And for Theo, I say, Theo on my shoulder, and he says, I'm right by your side, Tom, with your guides, along with your guides, good morning. And then for Antura will say, Antura in the wings, Tom, like a stage. So in other words, they have these little things that they say that lets me know now. But when you start, you just play along. Say, well, gosh, that sounds like me thinking, but okay. Let me ask a question. When you ask a question, you think you know the answer, and you get a completely different answer, you know you're speaking to the entity that you've asked to talk to.
Wow. This has been very interesting, but this episode, we're running out of time. So I'm going to say thank you, and we'll have you on again very soon. Tom T.
Great.
Moore and The Gentle Way.
Thanks for having me.
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.